is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
For the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, traveling. He is in Colombia. He is in Medellin, Colombia, a city, according to the news reports, that is now very attractive for international tourism. Why? Because of the romantic days of the Medellin cartels, perhaps. Also because I'm told, and Evan can help me understand this, it's a beautiful city, very well placed, with eagerness to do business internationally. Professor, a very good day to you. You're in Colombia on traveling on business. It just so happens that recently the Secretary of State was in Colombia, Mr. Blinken, on his way to Santiago and then on to the Organization of American States meeting in Lima, Peru. So we begin in Medellin. How would you describe the city and the mood today with the new administration in Bogota under Mr. Petro? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Medellin, Colombia, is absolutely a beautiful city. And I will tell you that, in Colombia in general, Secretary Blinken's visit captured a lot of attention. And he really put forth his best foot, along with Assistant Secretary Nichols, to really meet the new government of Gustavo Petro on his terms, in terms of the orientation towards narco trafficking and other affairs, although there were clearly some differences in opinion, such as that on extradition policy. However, probably the biggest way of putting things is to talk about uncertainty. So Gustavo Petro has proclaimed a number of different things, not only about his policies to stop to stop eradication of cocoa crops that impact some of the poor peasants, and change some aspects of U.S. Drug policy, as well as moving around the Colombian National Police from the army to others, tax policy changes and other things. But he's also moved relatively cautiously in terms of what he's actually done. And there is, I think, a uncertainty is probably the word that best characterizes things here, because there's the understanding that if he does half of what he says he's going to do, it's significant changes for the economy as well as for the U.S. relation. And yet he's been moving relatively slowly in terms of actually implementing those things.
Before we move to the most recent exciting controversy, which is to begin negotiations with enemies of the state, narco-terrorism, I mentioned that Medellin is famous for the Medellin cartel and the defamatory remarks about Medellin persist, despite the fact that the famous gangster Pablo Escobar is long since dead. However, Medellin is a beautiful city. Colombia is a beautiful country. I understand all that. But these last years, Evan, it's been plagued by a resurgence of the cocaine crop, or the cocaine dealerships, or the smuggling of cocaine across borders eventually to the United States. Do you see evidence of that in Medellin, the concerns about the cocoa crop rising or the cocaine trafficking rising? And was that part of the conversation with what we know of between the Secretary of State and the new president of Colombia?
Well, John, essentially what happened with the 2016 peace deal, which was intended to get the FARC, one of Colombia's two major guerrilla organizations, off the playing field, is that as the FARC retreated from some of the spaces, that opened things up for some of the other narco-trafficking groups, what they call the armed organized groups, or GAO, as well as the other major guerrilla group, the ELN, to move into some of those spaces. But along with that, some of the government's suspension of activities in those spaces, and the ELN and the FARC's de facto encouragement of those who were growing cocoa to do more, in addition to the suspension of aerial spraying. All of those things back in 2016, 2017 caused a dramatic boom in the actual land under cultivation, going from about 40,000 hectares to over 200,000 hectares, as well as dramatic increases in the productivity of that land. And so essentially, as the current government came into power, there was really a problem with a great deal more land under cultivation and a lot of more illicit money coming out of cocoa, although illegal mining and illegal timber and various other types of crime certainly contributed. It's not just about cocoa. But President Petro has indicated that he doesn't want to go after the little people, the poor peasants who are often growing cocoa crops for the narco traffickers. He just wants to go after the big narco traffickers when they move that. And so the problem of the amount of land under cultivation and the concern that if you don't go after eradication, how are you going to be able to control the production? So that was really what the part of what the conversation with Secretary Blinken was about. And my sense is that at least President Petro tried to accommodate Secretary Blinken a little bit, backing off and saying, well, although we're not going to go after the small producers, we will consider continuing going after what we call the industrial producers, the large scale narco traffickers.
Well, let's talk about industrial producers. My understanding again is that the ELN, which is the acronym ELN, is for the National Liberation Army, is a faction of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, which we know as FARC. So at some point, industrialism comes to these large groups. FARC, the 2016 peace deal with FARC may or may not be successful. I await your remarks, Professor, on this. But I know the ELN has been active murder gang for these last years, especially along the border. Now, Mr. Petro's ambition is to negotiate with the ELN. What's to negotiate? I don't understand. These are monsters. And they've attacked the army. So what is the ambition?
It's a good question, John. And there are a variety of different groups in Colombia. It's quite complex. But as you pointed out, first you had what was the biggest guerrilla group, the FARC. And after the 2016 peace deal, there was a portion of the FARC, especially those that operated on the border region with Venezuela and had sanctuary, thanks to Nicolas Maduro and that regime. And they called those the FARC dissidents, and various groups of those who were very involved in narco trafficking and in other operations basically said, we're not going to go along with the peace deal. And they continued to fight. There was a second group who actually of the FARC who joined the peace deal. They called them the second Marquetalia, even Marquez and others who joined for a while and then said, this is a bad deal. We're going to go back and rejoin the fight, also in Venezuela. Then you had another group, which was never actually part of the FARC. They were actually a second group, the ELN that you referred to. The ELN was more of a Maoist organized group. They initially had focused more on extorting pipeline operations and other things like that. But over the years, they also became deeply immersed in Venezuela, involved in illegal mining. And so in addition to all of those ideological groups, you also have what they call armed organized narco trafficking groups, such as the Gulf clans, such as the Orobeños, such as the Rastrojos. And so you really have a big soup of different groups. Now, as you pointed out, the first group that was put on the table by Petro to do these peace negotiations was the ELN. And so they just made official that they're starting these negotiations where the government is essentially announcing that it's not going to extradite the leaders. They are going to officially start negotiations in Havana. They sent delegations. Now, the other groups, they've said that at least 26 of these other groups, even the criminal groups, are eligible, although they indicate that the terms that they want to give the criminal groups are different than the terms they want to give the ideological groups. They've also reached out to a faction of the FARC, which I mentioned before, to see if they want to negotiate. So the ELN is most farthest in process, but the government has indicated in various different ways that it wants to do what they call a total peace with all these groups. But there's clearly skepticism because the concern is that, as happened many years ago with what they call the Zona de Despeje under President Pastrana, as happened also to a certain degree under President Santos when they were negotiating with the FARC, the concern is that if you take the state away and take the pressure off of these groups and their leadership with extradition, and you stop going after the leadership while at the same time you stop going after the drugs, you really set yourself up to make these groups much wealthier and really to empower them through their criminal activity, even while you try to negotiate with them. So there's a lot of uncertainty about where this is going.
Checking on the economy of Colombia, we're all still recovering from the pandemic, and then we have worldwide inflation. And it's coming springtime in the Southern Hemisphere, as I understand it. Does the economy strike you as vibrant, as rebounding, or is there want the way there is in Peru, the price of food at the soup kitchens? What do you see, Evan?
Well, John, in Colombia, like in many other parts of the region, there are significant problems. To a certain degree, many of the people who were in small and medium enterprises were, after the pandemic, pushed into the informal sector. Those very vulnerable people are then really being impacted by increases in the prices of food and petroleum. In Colombia, especially, President Petro has announced the gradual removal of a subsidy on oil prices, on oil, which will actually double the price that Colombians have to pay for gasoline. There actually is a strike that's supposed to be a national strike going on here today over just that issue. Although having said all of that, there are other concerns that have to do with the management of economic policy. There are a series of tax increases that have not been received in a very popular way. Of course, President Petro has made a series of announcements, not only about the peace, but also about his desire to scale back fracking and oil production and new licenses, as well as other mining, including coal, because mining and coal and oil are actually the major export industries of Colombia. And then on top of that, President Petro has had a series of ministers who have made pronouncements, including a mining minister who actually said that negative growth is good. President Petro likes to tweet out things. He recently tweeted something that had his finance minister running to try to stave off a fall in the price of the Colombian petro versus the dollar. And so in addition to the people in Colombia, there is a certain amount of investor uncertainty about where these policies, these tax policies, the policy of Colombia's export industries are going in the future.
We're headed to Brazil. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. He's in the, I'm told, beautiful city of Medellin, Colombia, attractive to tourists, international tourists right now. We're headed to Brasilia and the question of the race between Lula da Silva and President Bolsonaro for later this month, the final vote. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.